Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and we are on location here at St. Francis de Sales in Newark. And with me today is Tina Birch. Welcome, Tina.
Thanks, Father.
Great to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your many gifts. We thank you for what you're doing here in the parish of St. Francis de Sales, and all of your good work here in Newark. We ask, O Lord, that you bless our listeners and bless all of the parishioners here. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Tina, first, what is your role here at St. Francis?
I'm the Director of Evangelization and Faith Formation.
Excellent. And, you know, as we kind of start off in this conversation, it's always good to hear how you came to know the Lord. And maybe your own conversion story?
Sure. Well, I actually go back to First Communion and Sister Diane. I just remember not really wanting to go to CCD, and then I walk in and there's this beautiful nun in a habit, and we got to sing. She had a beautiful voice. I couldn't wait to go every week. We were learning about Jesus, and we were going to make our First Communion, and it was just the best year. I didn't want it to stop. So she really introduced me to Jesus with her beauty. I mean, just the beauty of the faith and the beauty of, and her joy. And so after First Communion, my parents were Eastern Christmas at that point. They became much more devout over the years, but they would drop me off and pick me up because I wanted to be where Jesus was. And I knew he was there in my 8-year-old mind. Of course, I understand a little more now. But I knew I wanted to be where Jesus was. And I still remember, even when we're kneeling, I would say the whole consecration prayer with the priest. I still remember. I remember the black lines and the red lines. I said them all because I just loved being there. So, you know, they were raising a young family. And I don't know how they found time to drop me off and pick me up and not just come with me. But we all ended up going together later. But they honored that, and it was Sister Diane.
That's a beautiful grace, you know, like that your parents, even if they weren't there. And I'm wondering, did you help to influence them as they became more devout?
I think later in life, you know, I had some gap years in there, those teenage years where I was maybe too cool for school, and so I didn't care who was going to church, but we moved when I was a junior in high school. It was probably a good thing because I was making some poor decisions that they did not know about, and so it was divine providence, I think, and I made a friend who was just so kind to me. She was a Christian, not necessarily Catholic, but I really learned about a relationship with Jesus from her, and then to bring that into my Catholic faith, because I would have never left my Catholic faith because my dad was Catholic, and he was my dad, you know? So it was really kind of beautiful to blend those two worlds and actually know Jesus and encounter him even deeper in the Mass. So my sisters will even say that friend was influential on their faith life because I just came home and shared Jesus with everybody and took everybody to church with me. And I'm the oldest, so I'm a little bossy and you know, convincing. So, yeah. And then when I come home from college, we'd all go together. And
that, I think that's an interesting point, the blending, you know, that especially as we kind of talk about the new evangelization and this sort of really kind of the... I mean, I hate to say new, but really this sort of focus in the church and renewal in the church about being more Jesus-centered, more Christ-centered, and really embracing our identity as missionary disciples, that some people kind of nervously will say, oh, well, we're just becoming too Protestant, or we're becoming Protestant. But first of all, you know, we know the New Testament is Catholic, you know, like it's not as if this language, you know, is the Protestants created, you know. But there is a sense where we really can learn a lot, one, about this real personal love for Jesus Christ, which is a part of the Catholic tradition, but which the Protestants have tended to emphasize a little bit better at times than we have in the last, you know, 300 years. So I think it is a good, you know, kind of idea that, you know, there are things like a love for Scripture that our Protestant brothers and sisters can teach us.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree. And, well, you know that we do Alpha here, and it's changed the culture. It's phenomenal. It is not a Catholic program per se, and I used to get pushback that first year. And they said, well, when you're done with Alpha, you're just Protestant. I said, wait, time out. I said, it's not Catholic. It's everything we believe, but we have so much more. And it's hard to drink from a fire hose, like really. I mean, our faith is so rich and so deep, you just can't impart it in 10 weeks, right? So we start with what we have in common. And I said, they took it from our playbook and made it relevant and engaging. Mm-hmm. So why can't we use it? And then we build from there, which it really has. What's wonderful about Alpha is we offer adoration, which would not be in their playbook, on the day away. And that is when people who have never been exposed to Jesus in the Eucharist will say, what was that? This is how I felt. And many of our testimonies come from that adoration. So that's how we blend those two things. And our faith formation is busting at the seams because they want more. They're hungry and they want more.
And I'm frequently reminded of the quote from Mission of the Redeemer by John Paul II, where he talks about conversion is a personal surrendering to Jesus Christ, and that this is absolutely necessary. And programs like, or you know, opportunities like Alpha, you know, they present the basic message of the gospel to us, that our Father loves us, that the world's gotten messed up by sin, that the Father has sent his Son, that Jesus has suffered and died for us and risen from the dead, and an invitation to respond and to accept this, to surrender really to this, and then also the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that this basic message is at the core of our Catholic faith. And if we haven't really allowed this to kind of consume our heart, the rest of the stuff's not going to hang. It's like it's like you can't have branches without a trunk. And if we haven't really seriously embraced the gospel, then all of the other truths which flow from that are going to be hard for us to hold on to.
Absolutely. Right. It's taking that encounter and leaning into it and living it out. So when we encounter Jesus, it's amazing. But we don't just encounter him once. You know, the beauty of the Catholic faith is we have so many ways, you know, in the liturgy of the word, at the Eucharist. If we knew what was going on at the Eucharistic prayer, I often say, I don't think anyone would leave the Catholic Church if they actually knew that was Jesus, and that we are receiving Jesus, and we are living tabernacles. Imagine what we should be doing to the world if we know we're taking Jesus as living tabernacles to the world. I mean, we should be changing everything, and I hope that we do.
Yeah. How did you get into the work of parish ministry?
Well, I was a mom, and Father Dave was my friend, and I called him and asked him for some confirmation stuff. I was volunteering at Resurrection for confirmation, ready to take that on, and he called me back. He said, hey, I have an opening for youth minister. I think I want you to apply for that. So that was 15 years ago, and so I was in youth ministry for 12 years at St. John Newman, and that was another, you know, time of growth, because you're growing in faith as you're taking your family. You know, there's, you know, being a mom and wife is, of course, my first vocation, and but then to be ministering to all these young people and really wanting to impart to them this relationship with Jesus, an encounter with Jesus, and make it real for them. It was a great 12 years, and I learned as much probably as they did. Father Dave is a great mentor.
And you know, it strikes me, because I know you're a serious grandmother, and that, you know, because I've asked you to do a lot of things, and you are able to say no, because you really prize the relationship with your family. And I really honor, I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's a great gift that you have. And I wonder how, you know, because all of us are called to be missionary disciples, and that means there's a lot of different relationships, maybe on the official parish you know, channel, but, you know, like in other ways where we're working with people and discipling people. But how do we balance that with our family and our family obligations? And I think this, I think you have it right somehow, you know.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I feel like I'm floundering, but it's great to have a pastor who, of course, is very flexible. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, when he asked me to come here with him, when I finally got the word from the Lord, you know, because my husband said, you know, you're going, just tell him. I said, I want it to be God's thing, not my thing. And so I told him, I said, but here are my conditions. I can't be out every night because I don't want to leave John home alone every night of the week for adult faith formation. And I'm going to continue to teach aerobics. It's good for me. And I'm going to watch my grandkids. He's done, done, done. I don't care how you get your job done. So, I mean, I have Zoom calls at night. I mean, I have to budget my time. And, you know, there are weeks when I think I'm not very productive, but I make up for it the next week. So I, on Mondays and Fridays, I am with my grandchildren. I love those relationships because I'm not a visitor in their home. I'm in their life. And yeah, it's kind of cool. Just this week, Nora, the oldest one, was helping me with something in the pool. And she just out of the blue says, Uma, when are you going to die? And I said, I don't know, Nora, but when I do, I get to be with Jesus. So I get those little, you know, those little moments.
That's beautiful. And let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for the gift of family in our life and the gift of the gospel and the gift of our parish families and church family. We ask, O Lord, that you strengthen us and renew us through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.